Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're in Canto 10, Chapter 35, finishing the final little commentary on texts 20 and 21, and then we're going to move on. This is the gopis absorbed in Krishna while he's in the forest, eager for him to return. Text 20, that's part of the 2021. Here's Jiva Goswami's commentary from Priti Sandarbha. It's very simple. He just says that Sakya Rasa is again seen in these words. Text 20. O sinless Yashoda. That's parental affection. But your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland and he is now playing along the Yamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. We're going to hear something in commentary about how do they know what he's doing? They're way over here and he's way over there. And we'll hear from commentary. So next, 22 and 23, Canto 10, Chapter 35. In the Sanskrit, the last line of the Sanskrit is Devaki Jathara Bhur Udu Rajaha. So Devaki's name is mentioned. We're going to hear about this several times. Devaki is translated, and the word for word is of Mother Yashoda, and we'll hear why. Translation. Out of great affection for the cows of Vraja, Krishna became the lifter of Govardhan Hill. At the end of the day, not necessarily that day, but at the end of the day, just his pastimes, having rounded up all his cows, he plays a song on his flute while exalted demigods standing along the path worship his lotus feet and the cowherd boys accompanying him chant his glories. His garland is powdered by the dust raised by the cow's hooves and his beauty enhanced by his fatigue creates an ecstatic festival for everyone's eyes. Eager to fulfill his friend's desires, Krishna is the moon risen from the womb of Mother Yashoda. Wow. Purport. BBT purport. According to the Acharyas, at this point the gopis climbed into the watchtowers of Vrindavan's houses so they could see Krishna as soon as possible when he returned home. So these pastimes are sequential as he's entering the forest and out there and then coming back and coming back. And he's late. You know what it's like when somebody's late. So Mother Yashoda was very anxious for her son to come back, and therefore she had the tallest of the beautiful young gopis climb up to see when he would arrive. It is implied here that Krishna was somewhat delayed on the way home because his lotus feet were being worshipped by great demigods along the path. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Quote, Seeing that my son has not come back at the end of twilight, I will now kill myself. Unquote. Fearing this response from Mother Yashoda, the gopis then gave reasons why Krishna would come home quickly in order to calm her. Paragraph. Being affectionate to the bulls tied up in Braja, remembering their suffering and separation from him, he has ignored the worship of the Upadevatas and is coming quickly. One cannot say that for a cowherd boy, the skillful singing of the lowly Gandharvas is more attractive than giving grass to the cows. Or seeing tickling and touching their bodies. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill to protect the cows. From this we see he has great affection for the cows. Though the Gandharvas may have heaps of qualities, Krishna has not a morsel of affection for them. Then the doubt. If this is so, then he would have been here immediately. Thus the gopis gave the reason for his lateness. Then it goes the other way. Quote, Brahma, Shiva, and others are now offering their respects along the path. The devatas coming from their houses and situating themselves close by in the sky watch Krishna all day in bliss. When Krishna returns in the evening, they also return to their houses, but not before descending from the sky to earth to offer their respects to his lotus feet to obtain his mercy. What can he do in this circumstance? This request from the devatas is a greater cause of his lateness. But do you not see the good fortune of the devatas offering their respects to your son's feet? Why do you lament? Paragraph. Yashoda with choked voice says, Oh, young women, please go to the roof and see how far my son is distant. Going to the roof, the gopis then spoke to her in loud voices, quote, Stopping all the cows in one place with the sound of his flute to fulfill the desires of well-wishers, Krishna is now coming. He is brilliant in his fatigue, a festival for the eyes, with garland covered by dust raised from the cow's hooves. Whatever was said was for the benefit of Mother Yashoda and also for the benefit of the other gopis, to whom they threw indirect glances. Though dust is mentioned in relation to the garland, it did not exist in other places because the gopis were diligent to clean all the dust using pieces of cloth. There was some dust on the garland because, though the gopis cleaned the garland, they feared breaking the petals to remove the dust completely, even if it were a garland of jewels or a new garland protected by cloth offered by his servants. Krishna would wear no other garland. Krishna was particular to show those dusty garlands on his neck, which were made by the gopis with their own hands and sent to him while he was in the forest. Paragraph. The final from Vishwanath. Devaki in this verse means Yashoda, and it explains why later. Krishna, the moon, was born from the milk ocean womb of Yashoda, according to Ganodesha Dipika, quoting Adi Purana. Nanda's wife had two names, Devaki and Yashoda. Then Jiva Goswami just gets better and better. Eagerly the gopis climb to the roof tops to see him. That is shown in this verse. To describe his arrival, they first indicate with intense joy the cause of his coming, his outstanding mercy. He is affectionate to the cows of Raja. They give an example. He is affectionate because he lifted Govardhan to protect the cows, though his body is very soft. They use the present tense because this past time is always present in their vision. This tells something about how they can see what's going on when this Krishna is remote. Because of their feelings of gratitude. I'll read that sentence again. They use the present tense because this pastime is always present in their vision. Because of their feelings of gratitude. By this they indicate to Yashoda that he will protect her from sorrow on this day also. Then they then describe his coming. The devatas worship him on the path since they will not do so within Vraja. The present tense is used to indicate that they never stop worshiping him. They do this though he does not desire it since he feels reserved and shy. Ah, just see his excellent qualities. He plays his flute with raga and rhythm to gather the cows and to inform the people of Raja that he is coming. He is praised by the boys who make gestures according to the song, telling stories like the killing of Putana. He is also praised for the activities he performed that day. He creates joy for all eyes by the natural beauty of drops of perspiration on his limbs, or by his limbs radiating fatigue. What to speak of our eyes then? There is such beauty in seeing him. Paragraph. The garland is covered with dust raised from the cow's hooves, appearing like pollen. By mentioning the dust on his garland, it is understood there is no dust on his limbs. His friends use their upper claws to brush away constantly the dust from his limbs. But still, the dust is clinging to the garland. He forbids them from wiping away the dust for fear that the petals of the garland, which has been offered by a dear friend, will break. Though they point out details like dust from far away, out of prema because of his coming, they have this vision of him. Parentheses, which may not be completely accurate. I don't know why he puts that, but they can see out of prema something that's remote. Previously they hinted at the cause of his coming and now they state it directly. He has a desire to fulfill the wishes of his friends. Otherwise, he would not be happy in the previously described activities in the forest. Paragraph. The gopis mentioned friends. If he wants to give happiness to all his friends, he must give happiness to us. They point him out with their fingers. There he is! The word Devaki here means Yashoda, since that is her other name. And here's an explanation. They use this name out of great respect. Why? Since Nanda is a king, he is called Deva, or Devaka. His wife, called Devaki. That's her other name. That's the reason why it's there in Adi Purana. With the intention of pacifying her, they refer to her as his mother, as previously with Tavasuta Sati, verse 14, and Nanda Sunu, verse 4 and 21. It would be contradictory for the gopis to say that Krishna was born from the womb of Devaki, wife of Vasudev, instead of Yashoda in her presence. Paragraph. In the next verse, in another gathering, that here she's with Yashoda, so the scene changes. In the next verse, in another gathering, the phrase Yadupati is used. If it means the Lord of the Vrishnis, that would also produce indifference instead of devotion. Therefore, Devaki is a name of Yashoda. Similarly, another name of Meru Devi is Sudevi. They're just making a scriptural reference. Meru Devi is commonly used as the name of King Nabhi. And King Nabhi and Meru Devi are the mother and father of Lord Rishabdev. But in Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 10, where there's another list of incarnations, like in Canto 1, Chapter 3, Canto 2, Chapter 7, here's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. Rishadev's mother was also known as Meru Devi, although her name here is mentioned as Sudevi. It is sometimes proposed that Sudevi was another wife of Nabhi, but since King Rishabdev is mentioned elsewhere as the son of Meru Devi, it is clear that Meru Devi and Sudevi are the same person under different names. So Meru Devi has two names, Yashoda has two names. It's not unheard of. It is also said, and I look for to see if there's scriptural reference. There's no scriptural reference for the following phrase. Dva nami nanda bharyaya Yashoda Devaki cha. Meaning, Nanda's wife is called Yashoda and Devaki. I'm guessing, doesn't say, that's Sridhar Swami's commentary. Krishna is called the moon, which is the Lord of the stars, since he takes away suffering just as the moon takes away the heat of the day. His friends are like the stars surrounding the moon. Krishna, being born in the womb of Yashoda, which is most pure, made of Vishuddha Sattva, is like the moon, being born from the milk ocean. And last is Sanatan Goswami. The gopis speak among themselves as previously while Yashoda becomes absorbed in preparing a meal for Krishna. The devatas worship his feet on the path since they do not get this opportunity when he enters Braja. Present tense is used to indicate that they do not stop the worship. The descriptions given in the verses occur daily with Krishna and his friends, or going there on different occasions, they see him directly. The wealth of the cows is altogether is. The wealth of the cows is together, since it is the end of the day. I don't understand that sentence. The word, quote, wealth is uttered with hatred because he is attached to herding the cows during the day, ignoring them. Now, it's not the material kind of hatred. We had this discussion. I didn't share all that here, did I? The secondary rasa that is dread and distaste. Yes? Huh? One of the evening programs. But you remember that discussion? No? Yes? Maybe? Not sure? This is a rendering of why it could be like that. This is an example. I'll send it to you and you can make it available to people. This, I did some research on. Ghastly. Secondary rasa, ghastliness. Anyway. So they don't actually hate the cows. That's not possible. But it's kind of an emotion. Gee, it's like the coward boys. Gee, they're always with him. So it's a transcendental envy or a transcendental disliking because of the intensity of their love. Anyway, it's very different. Worldly and the transcendental are very different. He plays the flute to gather the cows and to announce that he is coming to Braja. His friends glorify him by reciting his pastimes, such as killing a putana, or the pastimes of that particular day. Or they glorify him to remove the suffering they experience at night because of separation from him, just as the gopis suffer separation during the day. Paragraph. He creates joy for the eyes of all, or for the gopis. They do not mention themselves directly to avoid bold behavior on their part. The beauty of his fatigue consists of the perspirations on his face and his dried lips. Though it is possible that the dust from buffaloes and other animals could also settle on his garland, here it refers to the dust that came from cow's hooves, since they are closest to him. That dust is considered auspicious. Since it is obvious, they do not mention the cows directly. The garland alone is mentioned, but it is inferred that his locks of hair were also covered with dust. Paragraph. He desires to fulfill the wishes of all his friends. Gopis are not specifically mentioned. As he comes close, they point to him with their fingers, Eshaha. He appeared in Devaki's womb, but was the son of Yashoda, since she raised him, or Devaki can also mean Yashoda. This was previously explained. He is the moon because he relieves the gopis of their suffering experienced during the day. Because Krishna was born there, the womb is pure sattva, most pure sattva, most pure. The milk ocean is suggested. Last paragraph. He is most affectionate to all the cows, bullocks, and calves. At the end of the day, he gathers all the cows with effort, since they are a treasure. That wealth term again. His actions cannot be limited by praises. Vandyamana charanaha. Nanda and the elders have approached on the road. His forest pastimes are worshipped by priests and elder cowherds with knowledge. He is beautiful even with his fatigue. He desires to satisfy his friends or all the gopis. He is the king of the stars. He is the master of the gopis or is surrounded by his friends. The example is suitable for all. This is Chitsukha's explanation. I don't know who Chitsuka is, but some commentator apparently. So they either have like this really vast library or a super, super memory or both. We have our computer. Dull brain. And even when we find something, you know, 2 hours later it's forgotten. What was that? Still, we're so covered as we are, can't help but appreciate that the sweetness of these pastimes and the pouring of nectar on our heads of the acharyas to reveal the contents nicely. Are you finding, like I'm finding, that at many times during the day, including practically as soon as you wake up in the morning, some of these topics are just in your mind? Yeah? Krishna's attracting, he's all attractive, and Krishna's attracting the mind to him. And just what to speak of as consciousness becomes more elevated and the contamination becomes more cleansed, you know, slowly, slowly. We got a lot distance to go. But the Mama Nusmara, just remembering Krishna. As we mentioned yesterday, you know, so while we're hearing, we're transported to another place, and then as soon as we go to the next thing, it's, you know, business as usual kind of experience. But continue, and gradually cleansing and lifting of consciousness. One becomes absorbed. And then it becomes something you really look forward to. Hearing, discussing, trying to appreciate at a heart level the nature of Krishna. Just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada giving a lecture in Ahmedabad, I think it was. So when he speaks in India, it's like two-thirds of it is quoting scripture. Just reciting verses and reciting verses. There's potency and people appreciate the authenticity as well as the potency. But his point, one of the points this morning that I heard, is this same continuous remembrance. There's the spontaneous stage, and there's way over here, you know, this yearning enthusiasm, spontaneous. Yearning enthusiasm, spontaneous. And so hearing, there's enthusiasm to hear again and hear again. And then when you hear, to try to understand, not by, you know, the way that we're used to trying to understand things by our little tiny brain power, speculation and information gathering and all of that. This question came up in yesterday's, Brajamohan was asking this question. How to get to the point in our lives where it's eager from the heart level. That the heart level is bhakti. Bhakti means to please Krishna. So hearing and speaking for the pleasure of Krishna. I mean, it may start just like do it regulative. Just regularly hear, regularly chant, because it's good for you. Like, you know, taking your medicine or eating your vegetables or, you know, even some vegetable you may not like, whatever that might be. you, because it's good for you. So we do things in a regulative way. But the bhakti means the same. Yearning for the connection. That's yoga. With the intention to please Krishna, yearning to get to that position. And then the means awakens that connection and does some cleansing, and so it becomes enthusiasm. We look forward to not just completing 16 rounds or reading my whatever number of minutes per day and of scripture or something. It starts there. It's my understanding of the chapter a day exercise that Vaisheshika Prabhu inaugurated. There are people all over the world doing this. But it's just to get people in the habit, chapter a day. And once you're in the habit, purification, awakening of consciousness, and it carries you to beyond just reading a chapter a day like a, you know, ritual. Same with chanting, same with hearing the Bhagavatam. You know, it meant to carry us. It has the effect. If we're wanting to please Krishna becomes awakening, that's the yearning part. We're not there, but yearning. And then, and so forth. It carries one. This is the process for the sage. There isn't more effective process for the sage, however dull we may be and all those kind of things. It's just like reality. There isn't a more effective process than the chanting of the holy name and simultaneously hearing Hari Katha, Radha Krishna. There isn't a better method. We can do other things, that's good. Those are core things that carry those other things, you know, into a realm of beginning to appreciate what real happiness, what real knowledge, what real understanding is. Because we're some distance away. But we can start to appreciate. So let's see if there's some discussion. And we'll start in the room and then we'll go online. Anybody here would like to present something, discuss something? Back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We are getting this opportunity to hear from you in person. We will not be getting this, continuously. Though we will have the opportunity to hear on like YouTube or the online, but I feel, the impact won't be same. That is my perception, though it should be same. From Vani perspective, I was trying to think, is it because of the distractions that we have while hearing online versus in person, or is...
You can be distracted in person too. One devotee a while ago was sharing this with me. When I'm doing RT and ringing the bell, you know, my mind is all over the place. And, you know, it's regulative, but, you know, it was in a public forum, you know. My mind is all over the place. So, this question came up yesterday also. Evening. I didn't include this answer from yesterday evening, but it has to do, part of it has to do with our bodily conception of life. Just like like attracts like. Young people are more likely to attract young people than older people. Or black people are more likely to attract black people. Or Hispanic people are more likely, like attracts like. Now, transcendence is transcendence and it's not limited, like look what Prabhupada did in America. But that I heard Sri Dayananda Maharaj's explanation of the importance of Bhakti Chumaraj becoming a devotee, because Prabhupada wanted what wasn't happening for, you know, during a long period of time. Young, well-educated, well-cultured, sophisticated people to come forward. And it was the Western people. Again, the same lecture in Ahmedabad, Prabhupada was saying, don't think these young Western and, you know, European American people don't know Krishna. You say, oh, I know all about Krishna. What can these people tell me? But listen to them, because they'll tell you about Krishna in ways that you don't know. But see, people were resistant to hear from somebody that's a foreigner, etc. You know, like I know all that stuff. So, if the bodily conception is one of the filters of the mind. And so, it's easier to receive when there's physical presence. There's a spiritual potency that is palpable in spirit, in physical presence. Like when a persons may not even have heard Prabhupada, just seeing him or being in his presence, something happened just by being in his presence. And we're carrying a bodily conception of self. So when we're hearing, anyway, it's like one of the statements that Prabhupada makes about deity worship is especially good for householders, because it connects the bodily conception with the form. God is everywhere, you don't need a deity, but we connect the bodily conception with the deity form. And it spiritualizes the bodily conception through deity worship. It's one of the functions of deity worship for the, you know, neophyte or the beginning stages of bhakti. It spiritualizes the material conception, the bodily conception. Although Krishna has form, he appears in that deity form in a merciful way, because we can't see him and otherwise, and so on. So the physical presence helps, but the real essence, even in the physical presence, is the sound vibration. This is what we discussed yesterday. Like the example from yesterday evening was Prabhupada many times, not awful lot of times, but many times in recorded lectures would say that people will say, oh, I'm not going to be fortunate like Arjuna, because Arjuna heard Krishna directly and I'm never going to have the opportunity, so I can't become fortunate like Arjuna. And you would like, no. Because when one hears the words of Krishna speaking and someone says, Krishna says, it's Krishna speaking. That one becomes the instrument for Krishna speaking. And as Krishna speaking, so one can be equally fortunate, provided it's the transparent representation through disciplic succession. It's Krishna speaking. So that's the spiritual conception. And it's true. But we don't have, you know, not carrying in our mind the spiritual conception. We're not hearing adequately. We're feeling something, but not everything. And physical presence helps. It spiritualizes that bodily conception. But the essence is the sound, even when there's physical presence. Okay, something online? You have something more?
No.
Okay. your son, but we're going to do something online. Then you give the microphone to your son. Can you be the microphone runner? Yeah, after this, because this throwing the microphone around is not good.
This question is from Govinda Mohini Mataji. In our SB reading.
In which reading?
Srimad Bhagavatam, sorry. Bhagavatam reading.
Go ahead.
A question came up. In Treta Yuga, Lord Balaram comes as Lakshman, and Dwapara Yuga, he comes as Lord Balaram, and Kali Yuga comes as Lord Nityananda. Does he appear in Satya Yuga?
I wish I was an encyclopedia. What yuga does Nara Narayan appear? That's a different question. So I'll see if I can find the answer. I don't know the answer. Does anybody in the room know the answer? Or if anybody online knows the answer, send it in, because I don't know. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was talking to my uncle the other day.
Okay.
And then, so we were having a conversation about a message in a person.
About?
A message, like, relating to a person. So he said,
turn it over this way, because I want to hear what he's saying. Go ahead.
So my uncle said that, you don't really need to know the person. You just, like, need to know the message. And you can, like, from prior knowledge, you can decide if the message was good or bad.
The message was?
It's like, if you should follow it or not.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, you need to know the person who said it.
Yeah.
Because then you might have enough respect for the message. And, like, yeah, so is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And then the message, saying the same, the message is resting on a person. You know, the sunshine, the sun globe, and the sun god. They are resting on the person. So, the veracity of something, we want to know one of the things we want to know about the person is, are they transparent representatives of disciplic succession? That's something about the person. So, like, let's just say, reading Prabhupada's books. When you read Prabhupada's books, or I read Prabhupada's books, whoever's reading them may not know the person. But as they read, they come to understand the person. And if you read something that's not in disciplic succession, and you're a little familiar with disciplic succession message, it doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't have the same convincing feature. So if your heart is open, the message can go in and you can live by it. And if it's just notional, it doesn't stick. It doesn't go in. So what you said is correct, but with a little qualifier. One of the essential things to know about the person is, are they transparent representatives of disciplic succession? Until then, you're going to be a little cautious even if it sounds right. I mean, if you're smart instead of stupid, you're going to be a little cautious. To know, is this a transparent representation of... Because in the world, there are charismatic people. And some charismatic people are, goofs. And, they say something goofy, but they're charismatic, and people go, whoa. So you need to know something about the person. Okay.
This question is from Visalaksha Prabhu. I tend to forget Lord Krishna most of the time. What are the ways I can remember? What are the ways should I try to remember your wonderful instructions and also Lord Krishna?
Well, there's so many answers to that one. You know, start with chapter 10. After Arjun realizes, then he asks Krishna that question, what are ways to think of you? And he describes his vibhutis, and those are ways to think of Krishna. And you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, and you know, who doesn't drink water? You die if you don't drink water. And so Krishna is the taste of water. You know, who can see without the light of the sun and the moon? And Krishna is the light. So those are vibhutis by which you can think of Krishna. And, you know, there's so many ways to think of Krishna. Regularly read Bhagavad Gita. And you know, the message, just remembering the message of Bhagavad Gita means remembering Krishna. Trying to connect with just like a nice question over here. Connect with the person. When you read, it's not just information. It's a relationship with Krishna. So read Bhagavad Gita with that mood. Krishna is reaching out to you to connect you to him. So read with that mood, because that is what he's doing, to restore the natural forgotten relationship with Krishna. So read in that mood. And you'll feel connected, and when you feel connected, you'll remember. Those are some suggestions, and there's like so many. Anyone else? Huh?
I have a question.
Okay.
Just question about enthusiasm. For me, like, it kind of look a little bit contradicting to the simple-hearted nature. Like, when we see Sudama or Kolvacha Sridhara's example, like, enthusiasm is contradicting to the simple-hearted nature, like, lot of things being blessed.
I don't see the contradiction.
Maybe I will put in a different way. Other way I see is like, there is always a constant desire. I want to do this like that.
That's for you.
It looks like a passion.
You. Okay.
So, like, is it not? That's where I'm feeling contradiction. Enthusiasm means like, I mean, for me, simple-heartedness means like, there is a lot of things being blessed, and I mean acknowledging the gifts already being blessed. But enthusiasm sounds like, you know, still wanting more like that.
Oh.
So that's what I'm getting.
Well, that's a material conception. Short, it's a material conception of what enthusiasm is, and wanting to do, that's material conception of connecting. And this spiritual conception of enthusiasm, this is just reviewing, but the spiritual conception of enthusiasm is putting faith into action. Now, Kolavachar Shrita was putting, and others that are by nature humble, being satisfied with what Krishna is providing, that's one of the dimensions of humility. I'm not anxious in passion to have more, do more, be more. That's passion. But devotion can also do more and be more, not have more, but offer to Krishna. That's enthusiasm. So everything is in this question. It's a spiritual conception issue. And then when there's a spiritual conception, the enthusiasm knows no boundaries. Now the shape of that enthusiasm can be all kinds of things, but it's the connecting with Krishna. And depending upon what connecting with Krishna means according to one's relationship with Krishna can be all kinds of things. Look at because we're reading all this section of the Gopis, chapter 35. What's their enthusiasm? Are they like, okay, whatever Krishna does? Mother Yashoda, the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves. And we were hearing the river Jamuna, hearing the flute, the waves rise. They're just hoping, reaching out to get some dust from Krishna's feet. And then even when they get it, it's not enough. That's the yearning and enthusiasm. And then spontaneous. But it's the Krishna connection enthusiasm. It's not the doership enthusiasm. Not the mode of passion enthusiasm.
This question is from Bhakti Priya Mataji. She has a comment and a question. Mm. The comment is, we learned that we are not supposed to read Canto 10 without systematically reading the 9 cantos. But we are hearing from you. And today I realized that just by hearing through Guru and with this medium of this elevated Leela or topics, we develop yearning, enthusiasm and spontaneity by the example of the elevated associates of Krishna, like Yashoda. The question is, can I say within our reality, with the present conditioning, wondering when we get to see Krishna, enthusiastically inquiring from spiritual master, eventually when we meet the qualification, will we begin to have those raganuga, spontaneous feelings, behaviors, etc.?
Naturally so. Now everything happens by Krishna's mercy, so it's not a mechanical, you do this and you get that. But it's natural, like organic or, you know, it flows, but not in a mechanical way. But I'm just mentioning. It's natural that it will happen that way. Krishna's mercy comes to such a person.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is for more confusing about Yashoda and Devaki. So Yashoda, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they are eternally mother and father of Krishna.
Yes.
How about Devaki and Vasudeva who actually...
They're eternally in Mathura. They're eternally in Mathura. There's Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. In Krishna Loka, there's those three places. Three divisions in Krishna Loka. And they're eternally in Krishna Loka, Vasudeva and Devaki. But they don't enjoy Krishna's childhood pastimes because Mathura has a different mood.
What mood?
The mood of overwhelming love where they can't think of Krishna in any other way. In Mathura, there's that is less intense and more of the majesty of Krishna is experienced in Mathura. And in Dwarka, even more of the majesty of Krishna, although there's all kinds of sweetness as well. Is that clear? The proportion of sweetness or madhurya is greatest in Vrindavan a little less in Mathura, a little less in Dwarka. So the classic example is when Krishna kills Kamsa and then goes to the prison house and frees Vasudeva and Devaki, and they're standing before them. And they're experiencing in their heart the opulence of Krishna, the majesty of Krishna. He just killed Kamsa. You know, Kamsa's dead. Wicked Kamsa. They've been in fear of Kamsa, and their little boy just killed them. They're feeling awe and reverence with the opulence. So Nanda and Yashoda never do that. So but Krishna and Balaram, they want the parental affection. So Krishna expands his yogamaya potency. They become covered and they forget his majesty. But there are no interludes like that with the intensity of sweetness of Nanda and Yashoda. There's other examples. Here's another example given by our acharyas. There's no point in time where Nanda Yashoda offer prayers. Right? Or, you know, Devaki hearing that Krishna has brought back the son of Sandipani Muni, can you bring back my sons? Like that. There's sweetness, but a strong amount of majesty in Mathura. And in Vrindavan, sweetness completely covers. He shows, and then they can't see because of the intensity of the sweetness of their love. So your question, back to the starting point of your question, are Vasudeva and Devaki eternally mother and father? In Mathura, yes. The mood is different in Mathura than in Vrindavan. Okay?
Thank you.
This question is from Atulya Mataji. How can someone know that they are getting attached to Vani and not just Vapu?
Well, when you don't have Vapu, what happens? Like his question. Yes, go ahead. Yes, yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So, I'm going to ask the question that she asked and you answered, but, so the eternal pastimes are going simultaneously in Krishna Loka, like in Vrindavan, in Mathura.
Eternal means eternal.
So.
Yes.
So in Krishna Loka, Krishna is in Vrindavan, he's child pastimes.
But don't think of it in terms of material time, please, because that's where you get stumbled. It's not an event. The events, eternal pastimes are not events in time. Your question is rooted in thinking of events within time, but they're not. So what's a timeless event? It's beyond our little tiny pea brain to wrap mind around it. So what is it? You won't get there by the yardsticks of material time. Eternal. It's not like, so another way of saying the same thing. Over here is Krishna's little boy, and over there there's a bucket, and Krishna's like, in his youth, and over there he's not three-dimensional time. It's space and time as we know it. That's not what this Krishna Loka is and his pastimes. So how you gonna understand what eternal pastimes on purification? You can say mind expanding, but it's not like, it's get beyond the point where the mind can understand it. I'm not going to try by mental speculation to understand it because the mind can't reach there. That's a material energy. We have spiritual mind and spiritual intelligence and spiritual form, spiritual senses. That's how we can understand what eternal pastimes means. Or, you know, who we are and who Krishna is. Cleansing and consciousness elevating to the point of transcendence, then we can understand what's an eternal pastime anyways. Because we can find all kinds of contradictions using material yardsticks. I can name some of them, but you know, here's one. Right in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in the spiritual world, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, or electricity. And in the spiritual world, there's a moon and there's a sun. And the sun rises and the sun sets in the spiritual world. But there's no need. So what is it if there's no need? It's pastime related. Internal potency makes the arrangement, so there's different appearance of passage of time. And so there's different moods during different times of the day, and then there are days and nights, because at night there's another mood, and morning is another mood, and midday is another mood, and there's variegatedness within those days, but it's just pastimes. And there's a moon, but it's always a full moon. So it's a different set of rules. This is a reflection of that, not the other way around. Okay? You know, the material conception of life doesn't find that satisfying. They call rubbish. So, you know, materialists are never going to be happy in bhakti. And bhakti, bhaktas have this challenge of, you know, getting used to not thinking with the material paradigm when hearing spiritual. You know, you're not the body. That's interesting. Lots of people agree they're a spirit soul, but what's their conception of what spirit soul is? Really? And then there's the conception and then there's the realization. So we have a long way to go. Even just understanding spirit soul, what to speak of pastimes in Krishna Loka. That's okay. We have a long way to go. That, you know, the process is very simple and very sublime. And that's our journey. And if we complete it in this lifetime, that's where we go. And if we don't complete it this lifetime, we'll pick up where we left off in our next lifetime. But that's not going to be pleasant. It's Kali Yuga gets worse. Definitely not getting better. So finish your business.
This question is from Sanchari Mataji. I'm seeing the effect of hearing, even distracted hearing, and how that is positively affecting my desire to chant and read.
Good.
Yet, still, there is skepticism in the experience. Like it's difficult to believe sometimes that this change is happening to me, or that slowly I'm able to experience the effects of the change, especially because I know my thoughts and how large the chasm is between where I am and where I need to be. Is this just a mental block or overthinking?
No. It says you're being introspective. And, you know, you're being honest with yourself about all these things, so it's not something negative. Something is happening, and there's, you know, big gap. So keep going. I mean, just take this one example. you're not the body. You're spirit soul. You know, when we first hear that from Bhagavad Gita, it's like, okay, what does that mean? And then as you continue going on and continue going on, there's a little more clarity, a little more clarity. And then what to speak of everything else? And what does bhakti mean? And, you know, using your senses and the service of the master of the senses. Okay, like, you know, 1, 2, 3. But, you know, it's deeper. It's not, as you go further, it gets deeper. There's the sense organ, and there's the power of sense, and there's the mind, and there's the spiritual sense. So, you know, it starts to get refined. Your understanding, your appreciation, your experience starts to get refined. So, you know, being introspective, there's a big chasm. Keep going. And there is transformation. Keep going. In good company. With faith. And enthusiasm. Okay, you had something.
My question, Maharaj, regarding the Chitasloki Bhagavatam. Krishna talks a lot of, things before and after also. After those four
sentences. Yes.
So, why do we call those as only Chitasloki Bhagavatam, and then what is the importance of that?
We call it because our acharyas call it, but why do our acharyas call it is, this is the, you know, simplified understanding, maybe subjective understanding, not necessarily. This is what our acharyas say, why these four are the chaturasloki. But the essence of Bhagavad Gita, by Krishna's own arrangement, is complete in these four. You say it negatively or in reverse, all the other verses are expanding of those essential messages. And, you know, then you can start to break it apart, like pull the strands out of the cotton ball and hold them up and say, here's this part, that part, put back together, you got Chaturasloki. So it's elements within those four that are the essence of the Bhagavad Gita's message, or the essence of bhakti, and Krishna's reciprocation with one who's engaged in bhakti. What does it look like? What's its essence? So that's in those verses. Understanding, you know, go through the verses. Krishna is the source of everything. Knowing that one engages with bhava in his bhakti, his service. And then, and so forth and so on. So there's the bhakti part, and then the Krishna reciprocation part. When Krishna sees us do that, what does he feel? And what does he do? And because it's a relationship. Like that.
Same thing is true for Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. The texts are different. The message of Bhagavad Gita, you know, using our simple expression, the undergraduate and graduate. So what's there in the Chaturasloki Bhagavatam is the graduate. But it's not different than the essence that's in Bhagavad Gita. Just more complete and refined and more detailed. You have something?
I have a question.
Okay. Let's try to finish them quickly because of the time. Krishna, Krishna.
Uttama Bhakta Prabhu's question. Love and cooperation are amazing attributes. How can each of us utilize these unflinchingly to enhance and groom ISKCON for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna?
Well, this is, you know, a how-to question. And let's just keep it really simple and say by sadhu sangha, all of that becomes possible. Because in sadhu sangha, we have examples, and we have the fire of spirit of bhakti in our proximity, and that ignites our fire of bhakti, and these things that you're asking become more manifest in the world, in our lives and in the world. Sadhu sangha, good quality sadhu sangha, and all of what that means.
The next question is from Amara Mataji. The spiritual conception, is this a matter of cultivation by analytical study or a matter of realization of causeless mercy?
Well, why one versus the other? You have to start with a conception, and then the conception has to be applied. And when you apply the conception in the mood of service to Krishna, some realization comes by mercy of Krishna. So it's not one versus the other.
And the next question is from Balaram Prasad Prabhu. Is there any way Krishna can kidnap us with the help of a messenger?
With the help of?
A messenger, a spiritual master, just like the pastime of Rukmini and Krishna.
Yeah, it's possible. Next.
The next question is from Bhakti Priya Mataji again. When Gopakumar went to Tapaloka, he did not settle there. He persevered with determination and reached Krishna. What quality did he hold on to in this context? Is this yearning? Is this enthusiasm?
It was a sense of obligation to his spiritual master and a natural, a gift that he had that's commented several times in Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Narada and Uddhava. He had a natural disposition of affection for Madan Gopal. And anything less than that just was not satisfying. He had a natural disposition for a relationship with Madan Gopal. So we do also, it's innate within the heart, but we're not accessing it so often, we're accessing other things. Our affinity for the temporary, for example. So he had that, as well as gratitude to his spiritual master, wanting to fulfill what his spiritual master wanted to give him.
This question is from Chandana Mataji. Since Krishna appears in Vrindavan only once in Brahma's lifetime.
No, once in Brahma's day.
Once in Brahma's day. What role do Nanda and Yashoda play during the other Dwapara Yugas?
They're engaging in uppercut lila. Eternally, right? Okay.
And this question is from Namapriya Mataji. Does performing services, various different sevas, contribute to purification as equally as chanting the holy names and listening to Krishna Katha?
Yes. You can read in Brahma Samhita the last 5 verses and get the answer. I think text 61, you can start there from Brahma Samhita and you'll find the answer. The answer is yes. They're equally as purifying. There's a misprint. It says guna bhakti, and it should be gona bhakti, which means secondary bhakti, but that secondary bhakti is as purifying as primary. When the secondary is engaged in conjunction with the primary bhakti.
This question is from Sadachar Prabhu. What are the points one should be careful in sadhu sangha?
Well, you know, positive and negative. We want to be in a mood where the heart is open, and we want to be and receive and serve, receive and serve with an open heart, and avoid offenses. Those are the important points.
Dipyambara Mataji from India, thank you very much for patiently answering all our questions.
Thank you.